Welcome to my workshop. I'm Dave Thacker, a multi-decade modeler, a lifer. I'm a battery and power system specialist and a model designer. Grab a stool. There's some glue over here, a soldering iron, and voltmeter over there. All the supplies you might need. Something you want to figure out? Need some help? Let's get busy. Welcome to Radical Cast number 7. Blog posts since cast number 6 include Eric Dahl Christensen's Airfoil History, Fun with Taxi, The Man Who Thinks He Can, Virtual Tour of the U.S. Air Force Museum, Ampere, and links to the EFO website. RC Group's NanoSio 2 puts up a Husky video. Doc Brown Power Supplies check for possible ham usage. Another right stick takes to the skies. And last but certainly not least, a video of Jeb Corliss grinding the crack. 3 months since the last podcast, seems like there's been more activity sticking up interesting links than recording. I hope to make new casts on a monthly basis as time permits. It's been busy around the shop since cast number 6 with trips to Mid-Am, Wally Squadron, and the Neat Fair mixed in. In cast 6, we discussed bad weather strikes, flying field weather tips, fun with hovercraft, form charging, and the proper use of thread locker. In cast 7, we discussed new battery lasts 1,500 cycles, avoid being enamored with the miracle of flight, and thinking through a power system. New battery lasts 1,500 cycles. A customer writes me, telling me about a new battery that he would like to have made into a transmitter pack, and he's interested in the cell because it lasts 1,500 cycles. Now, one of the problems with this cell is in the AA nickel metal hydride world, if the cell is over 1,700 milliamps, the history of metal hydrides, it's proven that they generally cannot be fast charged. So I wasn't very enthusiastic about building a pack out of these cells. I already have a couple of large battery packs that I stock that make quite fine receiver packs, quite fine transmitter packs that can't be quick charged. And because of this problem of not being able to fast charge these very high density AA cells, people purchase more of the 1650 metal hydrides. It still lasts a very, very long time in a transmitter, and it can be fast charged if you ever allow the pack to run down at the field and need to give it a quick pump up. And they last a very long time. It's been around a very long time. He writes me back and he says, yeah, but this new battery can take 1,500 cycles. Well, here's my answer. You're right. 1,500 cycles is a superior specification to many other cells, but does it matter in your application? I submit it is totally moot data point for the application. We don't ever use mission critical packs beyond the third year. Do you really think you're going to get to go flying 500 times per year? There is nothing made that's even as terrible as 300 cycles. But you're not going to go flying 300 times in the next 3 years. You'll be very lucky if you get to run that pack down and recharge it 50 times per year. The typical pilot gets to charge a battery 20 times or so per year. This is a specification people shop for that they think is significant, but in reality, it's just a chuckle when you think about it. It's a completely irrelevant specification for our purposes. Now, if you were using a cell and a handheld flashlight that you might use every night as part of guard duty, or perhaps a radio you listen to each day as you walk around the neighborhood, or in a digital camera, then it might make financially positive difference to have a cell that would last 1,500 cycles. When these things run out, you replace the battery with others in your pocket. When your RX or TX shuts down, you are very unhappy. Using an RX or TX pack to its last drop of life is something that is way too expensive for most of us to afford. We are much more concerned about using a battery pack during its peak period of reliability, which is its first 2 or 3 years maximum. If you've had problems in the past with AA packs not lasting, most of the time it's related to using non-Sanyo brand cells or using AA cells over 1,700 milliamps and trying to peak charge them. Properly handled and properly chosen for the job, packs outlast their usefulness as mission-critical transmitter and receiver packs. flight. I run into pilots from time to time who are so overjoyed with the miracle of flight that once a model is successfully test flown, they consider it complete. It flies. They are proud of their creations and workmanship. They are drunk with the enamorment of flight. They are enthralled to the point of blind complacency. I know they're feeling well. There is nothing quite like the first test flight of a model you've built with your own hands. However, the first flight is just the beginning. It takes a number of flights, 10 to 20, to really tune up a model. It's important to look at your model objectively for any type of possible improvements. Don't stop with the first flight. Questions to ask yourself: are my control throws correct for the model, my skills, and the type of flying intended? Are my control throws balanced with each other? Does one control seem more sensitive than the other? How does the lateral balance feel? Does the model loop straight or screw out of the loop to the left or the right? In other words, does it go out of trim in a loop towards the heavy wing? How is the CG? Does the model have good control effectiveness at all speeds? Is the landing gear working well? Am I bouncing on landing? Does it need softer wheels? Repositioning of the axle locations? How well does the model do each maneuver you expect of it? Would I wish to trade climb for more speed, or give up some top speed for a better rate of climb? In other words, is the prop that I selected the best prop for the way I would like this model to fly? When you trim for cruise flight condition, then advance the throttle. Does it pull to the left? Does it begin to climb or start to dive a little? Do I need any adjustments to my thrust line? How does it perform in knife edge? Does it pull towards the canopy or towards the gear? Does it try to roll out or roll into the knife direction? Have you made an alteration to your favorite aircraft lately? Perhaps you're suffering from miracle of flight enamorment. There is a cure. Change something. Try to make it fly better. By doing so, not only will your skills as an aircraft tuner and pilot be enhanced, your models will make you look like an even better pilot. Thinking through a power system. I've spent a lot of time thinking about how I was going to present this, and I hope that my presentation is not too heavy on numbers. Basically, I just want to illustrate how to think about power systems, how to work out a motor system. I did a project. This was before we did the Intern 66 kit. What prompted the project was many people would contact me. This was in the middle of the park flyer revolution, and they wanted to fly larger and larger electric models, but they were stuck in this mental box of wanting to fly everything on 3S. The problem with flying large models on 3 cells is that we need very high currents to get high wattages. Voltage times amperage is wattage. And just to keep things simple, if we assume we have a 10 volts loaded on a 3-cell LiPo pack, if we want a 1,000-watt power system, well, that means we got to pull 100 amps. Well, that's pretty significant. There's not a lot of motors that can take 100 amps. So it's easier to get to high wattages by using high voltage. And it's generally correct to always take the high voltage option. Now, there's pros and cons to going to high voltage. Sometimes the power system gets more complicated. But that is becoming less and less of a problem as time marches on. However, I wanted to do a power system that was the mistake, but executed so well that it would actually work well. I wanted to do a 40 size model on 3 LiPos. Well, the more I thought about it, the more I thought, well, that's not really good enough. Let's do it on less than 3 LiPos. Let's do it on 3 A123s. A123s have a lower voltage than LiPos. Their nominal voltage is 3.3 volts per cell. So a 3-cell LiPo is 11.7 volts nominal. 3-cell A123 is 9.9 volts nominal. So I upped the ante on my challenge. I chose an unusual ARF not a lot of people know about called a GWS Sky Hero. The Sky Hero is GWS's 40 size trainer. And a lot of people don't know that GWS makes a couple of 40 size aircraft. There's not been a lot of them in the country. I'm not sure there's any other retailer that has it in stock other than myself. But I think it's an interesting model. It's fairly lightly built. It has a semi-symmetrical airfoil, so it transitions into aerobatics very easily, and I love trainer aerobatics. We opened the Sky Hero kit and began. Now, if you've downloaded the show notes PDF, you should download the show notes PDF so that you can understand and follow along. The Sky Hero is a 60-inch wingspan, 760-square-inch model. GWS says it weighs 88 ounces complete. Mine weighs 82. And it has a wing loading of about 15.5 ounces per square foot. The recommended engine is a 30 to 52 stroke. Recommend propellers 9.6 to 11.7. And a 4-channel radio requiring 4 servos. Now this, you might say this is slightly larger than a 40 size trainer. It's 760 square inches. Generally those are going to be 600 square inches. And you will note that the recommended engine is up to a 52 stroke. So that ups the ante on the project a little bit. My goal was to get a low voltage power system working well enough that an instructor would fly this model and say, yes, this is something that I could teach somebody how to fly on. This has adequate power, not overpowered, but reasonable power. I could teach somebody how to fly on this airplane. We could recover from many mistakes. What I ended up choosing was a Himax 3522 990 kV motor. Now, this is a fairly small motor for a 40-size airplane. On the second page of the show notes, that's the first motor listed, you'll see this is only a 5.7 ounce motor. A 40 size glow motor is 16 ounces. So this is approximately one third that weight. We'll note that the motor is intended to be ran between 15 and 38 amps, and it can be ran up to 54 amps for 15 seconds according to the manufacturer. This is generally a little bit conservative. We can push the motor a little harder than that without overheating it, but we want to keep these constraints in mind. Maximum motor RPM, 20,000. KV, 990. And the motor constants are there if you're interested in that. The best setup for this motor on 31823 cells turned out to be an 11.7 prop, which pulls 31 amps. That gives us 298 watts, or approximately 52 watts per pound at 5 1/8 pounds. The RPM of our 11.7 prop is 7,750. Static thrust is 47 ounces, so just a little over half the weight of the model. The model weighs 82 ounces, remember. The pitch speed is 50 miles per hour. Electrocalc estimates our best climb angle will be at 22 degrees and we will reach 816 feet in 1 minute. That the best possible climb angle will be about 29 degrees and the estimated level top speed will be 43 miles per hour. Now these are all really minimum performance standards for a model of this size. Normally, I don't like to do models with less than about 1,000 foot per minute climb angle. But remember, this model is intended to be a good trainer initially. So 816 foot a minute I thought would be okay. And I also wanted the model to be able to fly aerobatically. Well, we put this power system together and we've flown the model quite extensively. I've flown it at a couple of fly-ins. It even served for a Library Day fly-in where it was one of the club's trainer models that many children who had signed up got to have a go at the sticks. So this model has had some service and it works well as set up. Now my impressions of flying this aircraft with this power system are that I can do loops, I can do rolls, I can fly inverted, I can fly an entire aerobatic flight, I can fly it for 10 minutes easily and not deplete the battery. I have to think a little bit ahead of my maneuvers and use a little bit of energy conservation since our power levels are modest. But if we had a 40-size trainer with a plane bearing 42-stroke motor on it, it would fly about like this. We would have to think a little bit ahead when we do maneuvers. Now, the model's not marginal at all. It's really a good time and a lot of fun at this foliage. Now, the second way that I've flown this model is we added one more A123 cell, which takes us from 9.9 volts to 13.2 volts. Now, in this condition, we're going from 298 watts to 611 watts. Now, what's really important here, we didn't change the motor. We didn't change the propeller. All we did was add one-third more voltage. And our amps went from 31 amps to 47.7. Our watts went from 298 watts to 611 watts. The watts per pound went from 52 watts to 97 watts. We essentially increased the horsepower by 100% by only adding one-third more voltage. Our prop RPM went from 7750 to 9740. Static thrust went from 47 ounces to 78 ounces. Pitch speed from 50 miles per hour to 63 miles per hour. Our best foot per minute climb angle, which was 22 degrees and we got to 816 feet, increases to 35 degrees and 1,557 feet, almost double. Best climb angle that it can sustain is 52 degrees, estimated top speed 55 miles per hour. Now at 97 watts per pound, what we have is a fairly strong performing sport aircraft. With a rate of climb of 1,557 feet per minute, we have enough power to do just about any aerobatic maneuver we want to do from any position, from any altitude, anywhere in the sky. It's not an extreme power system, but it's a good all-round sport plane, a really fun model to fly. Now, these are the two power systems, which is the same power system with a different input voltage, that I have flown in this aircraft. All of the other power systems are estimated on electrocalc in the same way and should perform as stated here. Notice that when we go from three A123s to three LiPos, from power pack 1 to power pack 2, that our watts goes from 298 to 432. Our watts per pound increases from 52 to 74 watts per pound. So that little bit of voltage from 9.9 to 11.1 makes a great big difference in power. Remember, our motors turn at a fixed RPM per volt. That motor wants to pull as many amps as it has to pull to get to 990 RPM per volt. So when we add a little over a volt to the system, it's trying to turn a little over 990 RPMs faster. Now you'll notice when we go from three A123s to three LiPos that the RPM does not go up 990 RPM. It goes from 7,750 to 8,690. It's important to understand that as we load the battery more, it depresses to a lower voltage. Because we're pulling 38.4 amps on this pack, it is actually dropping more in voltage than the 9.9 volt A123 pack would be. So if we were to do, this would be a very rough, simple calculation, if we were to take our RPM of 8690 and divide it by 990 kV, we would arrive at approximately what our battery pack voltage would be. Now, if we were to take the same motor system that we've run on three A123s and four A123s and run it on four LiPos, so in other words, we're looking at power pack 3 and power pack 4, notice that we go from 611 watts or 97 watts per pound on four A123s, which is 13.2 volts, to 864 watts or 135 watts per pound on 14.8 volts of LiPos. Static thrust is 96 ounces. Pitch speed is 69 miles per hour. Best climb foot per minute is 2,409 feet per minute at 54 degrees. Best possible angle is 90 degrees. Estimated top speed is 60 miles per hour. So at 864 watts, we now have unlimited vertical. We can climb straight up with this aircraft. And note, this is an exceptionally small motor. Now at 57.6 amps, we don't want to hold the motor at wide open throttle for very long. We're actually over Himax's 15-second wide open throttle limit at that current. So when you set up edgy things like this, you have to be aware of that and you have to be careful of what you're doing. We do things like this all the time when the model has enough power that we wouldn't normally hold it for wide open for very long. Setups like this are just fine. And this, I would classify, would be very aggressive. 2,409 feet a minute at 54 degrees is a quite aggressive climb. You can get all over the sky with that. And that's turning the same 11.7 prop at 10,740. Now, it's important to notice here, I've made the argument before that there's no power in a motor, and no motor has more power than another motor. That's a misunderstanding of how motors work. Notice that in Power Pack 1, we have 298 watts of power. In Power Pack 2, we have 432 watts of power. In Power Pack 3, we have 611 watts of power. In Power Pack 4, we have 864 watts of power. That's quite a range of power. We've almost tripled the power from Power Pack 1 to Power Pack 4. All acceptable operational conditions for this motor, and all three vastly different amounts of power. So you should think about this when you are tempted to think about one motor having more or less power than another motor. The power system can have more or less power. As we consider these four power packs, all with vastly different amounts of power, remember, watts is a fractional expression of horsepower. 746 watts is one horsepower. So as we consider these first four power packs that we've discussed, 298 watts, 432 watts, 611 watts, 864 watts, and we understand that it's the same motor, it's the same prop, we've only changed the battery pack, and the power output has changed dramatically, it should be a very clear illustration that there is no defined amount of power in a particular motor. The motor is merely outputting a certain amount of power based on the load, the propeller, and the battery, or the battery voltage. So next time you are tempted to look at a motor and say, well, this motor has more power than that motor, understand that there is no logic in that whatsoever. It's the entire power system that has to be considered as a whole that produces a given performance in a model and a certain amount of power. As we move on down the list to power pack number 5, that is the same motor with 5 LiPos. Now remember, on 4 LiPos, the 11.7 prop was 57 amps, and we were really getting edgy for anything that we should do with this motor. So on 5 LiPos, we certainly can't swing an 11.7. We need to reduce the prop size some. Well, I thought a 10.4 sounded very interesting. I believe Zor makes a 10.4. And that's 43.9 amps, 823 watts, 141 watts per pound, 15,100 RPM, 94 ounces of thrust, 54 miles an hour pitch speed, 2,099 foot per minute climb rate at 50 degrees. Best climb angle, 90 degrees. Well, we have more static thrust than weight, so we would be able to climb straight up at 90 degrees. Estimated top speed, 56 miles per hour. Now, this is higher voltage on the same motor, but we're using a smaller diameter, lower pitch prop, and so we are slightly less power than power pack number 4, even though we're using the same motor. And that's primarily because we've lowered the prop quite a bit. We've increased its RPM by feeding this system with another 3.7 volts, but we have lowered the overall power very slightly. This would still be a very exciting power system. 43.9 amps is within the motor's range of operation. You can run longer periods. periods of wide open throttle with that. Power pack number 6, we consider the same motor on 6 cells. This is really answering the question, if we wanted to run this motor on 6 cells, how would we set it up ideally for this airplane? Well, the prop we would use would be a 9-4. It would pull about 43.4 amps. We'd have 977 watts, almost 1 kW, almost 1,000 watts, 168 watts per pound, 18,540 RPM, 102 ounces of thrust, 67 miles an hour of pitch speed, 2,381 foot per minute climb rate at 53 degrees. Of course, it would climb vertically because we have more ounces of thrust than weight. The estimated top speed would be 61 miles per hour. This would be a very high performance power system for this model. Be a lot of fun. It would sound like a pylon racer, turning over 18,000 RPM on a 9-inch prop. Power pack number 7 is choosing a slightly larger motor that can take higher continuous currents and runs at about the same speed, runs 1,000 RPM per volt. Now this motor is just slightly longer. The armature inside is 8 millimeters longer. And how we would run that on 4 cells for this aircraft is a 10-6 prop. It'd be about 44 amps, and you can read the rest of the numbers there in the file. 2,897 foot per minute climb rate at 42 degrees. That's really getting into the sky. Power pack 8 and 9, I look at a Hymax 3528-0800, a slower motor on 6 and 5 cells, respectively. Both of these systems would work very well. All of these systems would drive this model. My primary focus is to demonstrate in the first 6 systems how the same motor could be utilized in many, many different ways. Understand that my first power system, which was only 298 watts, even though it is the weakest of all these power systems, I consider it a success because it met with the description that I had for the power system. I was able to achieve what I wanted with the model, and that's the point. The point isn't always to get the most power you can possibly find, but the point is to get the right amount of power for the job you intend the model to do. Any more than that is the wrong amount of power. Any less than that is the wrong amount of power. More power isn't always better. It's not, you know, you heard when you were young that if some cologne was good, more cologne was better. Well, a lot of people think about power systems that way, and you can end up ruining a model with too much power. If we put some of these power systems farther down the list on this aircraft and wanted to teach a son or daughter or a friend how to fly with it, it would just be too aggressive. It really wouldn't be what they needed to learn how to fly. Now, as an experienced pilot, I think a lot of these power systems would be a lot of fun, and it is so tempting for me to put together a few more battery packs and to fly this model in all these configurations. But life is short and time is short, and there's a lot of projects on the table that I'd like to work on. Well, I hope going through this has helped you to wrap your mind around power systems and how you can take one motor and use it in many, many different applications. This is a particularly small motor for this size aircraft, and I would have no problem coming up with 10 more motors that would fly this airplane really well. For assistance with a project or any questions about products mentioned in this cast, see us at RadicalRC.com, where you'll find specialists in hobby electronics, batteries, building supplies, and the finest laser-cut kits delivered worldwide. Visit my club at Wingmasters.org and join us each February for the Midwest Modelrama, one of the country's largest swap meet and model auctions. Music provided by Mevio's Music Alley. Check it out at music.mevio.com.